Welcome to Window on North Korea. I'm Fran Callaher, your host. This will be a good news, bad news kind of episode, pointing to one of the many paradoxes of life in North Korea. We are hearing so much these days about the thawing in relations between North and South, evidenced most recently by the summit between their respective leaders at Panmunjom on April 27th, only the third such meeting during the 65 years of unnatural political division of the peninsula. Outside of the ongoing political developments, evidence of warming relations is especially visible in the cultural exchanges that have been occurring, starting with the visit by a troupe of hundreds of North Korean performing artists to South Korea during the Winter Olympics. At that time, there were some occasions of joint performances with both South and North Koreans, and it resulted in an invitation for several South Korean performers to visit Pyongyang in the near future. Indeed, this past April 1st and 3rd, there were two concerts held in Pyongyang, the first featuring South Korean musicians, and the second a joint performance with the same South Korean artists and many North Koreans as well. The first concert, titled Spring is Coming, was held at the East Pyongyang Grand Theater, which seats about 1,500 people. Among those attending, much to virtually everyone's surprise, was North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and his wife Ri Seol-ju. South Korean singer So-hyun, who is also a member of a very popular girl group called Girls' Generation, was the MC for the first program. Girls' Generation is said to be the most popular South Korean female idol group in North Korea. Well, you might ask, how many popular South Korean female idol groups can there be in North Korea when they are theoretically banned from watching or listening to any South Korean media in the North? We'll get back to that point in a couple of minutes. It is a North Korean defector's opinion that So-hyun was invited to Pyongyang because her group's image and dance moves are less revealing than other South Korean groups. Indeed, there is nothing risque or suggestive about her performances, at least in the excerpts of these concerts, which I've watched on YouTube. She opened the concert with a direct and simple greeting. "Hello, citizens of Pyongyang and North Korea. I am the singer and actress So-hyun. I am very pleased to be your host for this significant event. I hope today can present an opportunity for those of the North and South to face each other, feel the unity, and be deeply touched." Her message was very well received by the, no doubt, carefully hand-picked audience allowed to witness the concert. Kim Jong-un's reaction to the concert was summarized in an article posted on the AsianCorrespondent.com website. It included this quote from North Korean state media. Pardon the awkwardness of the translation, apparently done by a non-native English speaker. "Our dear leader comrade said his heart swelled and he was moved by the sight of his people deepen their understanding of South Korean popular culture and cheer with sincerity. He was said to have shown much interest in the show and asked questions about the songs and lyrics, according to the South Korean culture minister who accompanied him. Kim reportedly particularly liked the K-pop band Red Velvet, one of the South's biggest girl groups. He was quoted as saying, 'Many people have wondered whether I would come to the Sunday performance and watch Red Velvet.' That was a point of interest because, according to the English-language Korea Times website, quote, 'Before its Pyongyang visit, the band had stirred controversy with suggestions by some netizens that the South Korean Ministry of Culture, Sports, and Tourism had selected the band because it endorsed the North's communism. Some suggested a parallel between communism's symbolic color of red, the band's name, and one of its hits, Red Flavor.'" End quote. The lyrics to that song are translated on a YouTube version of that performance. If you search for Red Flavor, Red Velvet, English, you can read them and decide for yourselves whether you think they are pro-communist. There certainly is an appreciation for the color red. The best-received performance of both concerts was So-hyun's rendition of Blue Willow, a North Korean song believed to have been produced on the order of Kim Il-sung, Kim Jong-un's grandfather. The audience's warm reception of that song, with a burst of applause, made the South Koreans regret they had not prepared more North Korean songs. To give you an idea of what warms a North Korean audience's heart, I've put it on in the background. The first concert ended with the song, Our Wish is Unification. The second concert was held at a gymnasium seating 12,000 people, and it appeared to be a full house. It was titled We Are One, and was a collaboration between the South Korean and North Korean performers, including the Samjiyong Orchestra, which had performed in South Korea during the Olympics. The concert was again well received. Whether or how they managed to vet that many people is beyond me. The people living in Pyongyang are already vetted to a degree. No one just decides to move there. But still, that's a big audience to witness what is usually considered contraband in North Korea. Which brings us to why this topic concerns the life of everyday North Koreans, the intended focus of this series. The fact that Kim Jong-un had attended the first of these two concerts was shared with the population on state media. In the aftermath of the warm reception he gave the South Korean performers, several articles appeared in English language media along the lines of one from the dailynk.com titled, North Koreans Ask Why Kim Jong-un Can Enjoy K-Pop, But They Can't. Here are a few quotes from that article. There is a feeling of optimism over North-South relations these days after the recent performances in Pyongyang by South Korean musicians, although it remains illegal for people to sing South Korean songs. A source in Hwareong, North Hamgyong Province, told me over the phone a few days ago that local police recently imprisoned a person for doing this. The individual in question was apparently attending a friend's birthday party when they began to sing a cheerful South Korean tune, after which they all began singing and dancing to the song together. But then others in the vicinity who were not invited to the party heard the loud singing and reported them to police. The police came to investigate the group, and the person who started the singing was deemed the leader. They are still imprisoned. The source reported complaints from the individual's family over how it could be possible for it to be a crime when just last week, Central Party cadres in Pyongyang were openly watching and singing along to South Korean songs. It seems that people are dreaming of an end to restrictions on Hallyu, the South Korean cultural exports and their influence, considering that they saw not only Kim Jong-un and other elite officials at the concert, but also a selection of ordinary Pyongyang workers in the crowd. They may be anticipating changes that will allow them to freely watch South Korean dramas and listen to K-pop. The source repeated comments he overheard about how seeing Kim Jong-un and his wife pictured in the Rodang Shinmun watching South Korean performances made them believe it will soon no longer be a crime for others to view this kind of media. But then again, news of continued punishment of South Korean media consumers in the same week may diminish their optimism. The source told me that many people are asserting that they should be able to sing and dance to South Korean songs after seeing Kim Jong-un at the performance. But they don't know when Kim will officially change the rules. Many still believe it's necessary to stay reserved for the time being. End quote from that article. To stay reserved would be putting it mildly. It's now been a month since the Pyongyang concerts, with no reported relaxation in restrictions against accessing South Korean or other foreign media. Two articles published on dailynk.com just a couple days before the April 1st concert give a feeling for the atmosphere. Their headlines read, North Korea imprisoning more youth for viewing foreign media, and North Korean search for alternatives amid South Korean media crackdown. Here is a sampling of their contents. Young North Koreans are reportedly being sent to youth labor reform centers with increasing frequency as the authorities strengthen their crackdown on the consumption of South Korean media. Those that are caught are being sent to youth labor reform centers and kept there for about a year for re-education. Prisoners held in North Korea's youth labor reform centers are required to engage in hard labor during the day and ideological training at night, which includes lessons regarding anti-imperialism and the Songbun social class structure of the country. The North Korean regime has long held the position that as the North Korean people have more access to outside information, the more likely they are to have anti-regime opinions. End quote. There's so much more to be said on this subject. I'll save it for another episode, but meanwhile, we can only hope that the double standard around access to South Korean media, now so blatantly apparent to the North Korean people, as well as the world at large, will start to disintegrate with more cultural exchanges between the two Koreas. Sources for this episode include nknews.org, dailynk.com, asiancorrespondent.com, and koreatimes.co.kr. Window on North Korea airs approximately alternate Saturdays at 10 a.m. on KTWH Two Harbors Community Radio.